TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for joining us, everybody. Yay. Glad you could be with us. As you know, Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV podcast for Justified Season 3, Episode 9, entitled Loose Ends. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
And the lanky and talented Steve Bottomley.
Hello, everybody.
And helping us out in the booth is engineer provocateur Jerrica. Say hi, Jerrica.
Hi.
There, well, okay, way off in the booth.
Yes, the booth is on the other side of the studio this week.
Loose ends, a lot of loose ends, and creating some more, actually, as we speak. But one of the things that I wanted to start off with is how Raylan is defying Art's orders once again, putting himself in, eventually he's going to be putting himself a big doo-doo with Art. Art tells him, what's this business about quarrels? That's it. I want you done. You've got nothing on him. Move on. And that's the last thing that Raylan can do.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
He's a lawman, but,
yeah, but I love what
he's an outlaw man.
A man tried to ruin
my family.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
or my life. No, you're right. He said my life. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. And then he's not going to drop it. So,
you know, he made a couple of odd moves in this episode. First of all, if you're going to hide a weapon that can.
Yeah, I know. That's
the. He just puts it behind the dresser. Okay, done.
The radiator.
And then lies
the
on the bed.
Cover, yeah.
Behind the radiator. Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, I'm done. And then he kisses Ava, which I thought was a really good bookend to the beginning of the.
Okay, I just thought it was really hot.
Well, there you go. Real quick, I want to say
that
hello.
Hot of a kiss.
I'm going to interrupt myself and say hello to everybody on the chat room.
Thank you.
We're live. I got you right here. If you've got anything you want to add, I will read it out.
Or talk about it.
Bring up a point, whatever. But back on point. He's just kind of
lying
to Art, and that always comes back to bite.
I know we like it when he goes a little bit off the rails because that's
it's entertaining,
And usually he's got his code that he lives by. Like all characters like this have this code, and he's living within the law. I guess maybe not exactly skirting it here and there, but every time he does one of these things, which is great fun, great TV, and everything like that, but he always gets in trouble for it, which is also fun. So here he is making up the reason. I mean, he said quarrels is, he said drop quarrels. So he goes out and figures, that's right, because Ava's the one that gets Boyd involved, and that's where the kiss comes from, because, now that Wynonna's not around. He's drinking too much, and clearly he was drinking too much right then.
Yeah.
He's got the better, and even, confessed that last week to Art that he's drinking too much.
She also says, I just seem to be always coming to ask you for a favor.
Exactly.
And I thought it was just really interesting how he had a lot of interest in her knowing about Boyd and who Boyd is and
He said, know what Boyd is,
right?
As if he's trying to save her. As if
he has his hero complex, and he's always got a soft spot for Ava because of, she had a crush on him, and then he had the relationship for a time. So, I think he wants her, because, look, he couldn't help Wynonna.
No.
He made it worse. So that big
he's just
huge
transferred.
Hero. Yeah, exactly. That hero
transferred
complex
over transferred to the... over.
But I thought what was more interesting is she starts talking to him about, I hear you shot a girl.
Yes.
A woman. And he says, well, there aren't too many women who are
toting
in crime.
Guns. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that to me was more interesting because I think they're setting up something. Well, because I think that at some point, because now that Ava's getting deeper and deeper into this, she is going to be, let's face it, we saw her shoot somebody today.
Yep.
We knew she killed her abusive husband and that, you know, all that kind of thing. But now she actually shot somebody. So it wasn't, and that was not as self-defense.
No.
It was clearly
just to help Ellen May.
So now she's becoming that person that, you know, Raylan's just
warning
said.
Her against.
He's just, yeah, warning. And he's saying, I don't come across too many women that are in crime where I have to shoot them. And I think, well, whoa, wait a minute. Does that mean they're setting up that?
Are you making a prediction right now?
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what that was.
You think that the finale of the season is going to be not the finale of the season.
No, I don't think.
But you think they're setting up that Ava and Raylan are going to be at opposite ends of two guns.
She's going to get deeper and deeper involved. Obviously, that's where they're this whole season's about crossing lines. And here's this big line she crosses where she's actually actively shooting somebody, killing somebody, and not out of self defense. And you know, we're jumping into the Ava story, but she's, you know, she wants to become now the madam.
Right.
So I think they're setting up that she's going to be – and she's obviously more of a partner with Boyd.
Real quick, let's also bring up the fact that this really was an estrogen-fueled
episode. Girl power.
A lot of girl power. It was written by a woman.
Written by a gal, yeah.
Directed by a woman.
And, you know, I bet
– we had featured Ava, yeah. We had women bank robbers. We had, you know, Ava toting a gun.
And you know – not that it was a big
role. Well, I was just going to say that, especially on a show like Justified, there are probably very, very few women writers to begin with, and then very few women directors. And there are very few women directors in TV anyway, and certainly they're not on this kind of show. So it was really interesting to see a woman's take, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like, well. You being the only woman on this podcast.
Oddly enough, for all the women involved, Tim Olyphant kept his shirt on.
But he did have that kiss.
But he did have the hot kiss.
He did have the hot kiss.
So, yeah. All right. So, anyway, I just think that to me was a more interesting part of that conversation rather than him talking about Boyd. Because it was, he talked about the little, you know, the thing about, he shot a woman because there's not too many women who are in crime. And I went, what? That's interesting. Because if I was the writing crew, I mean, that's the one of the kinds of things that they kind of throw in there. And then later on, you realize, oh my God, that's what they were setting up all along.
And they do lay a lot of stuff in. Yeah, and sometimes they don't even realize when they
lay
it.
Right, like we talked about last week, about
like the bullet and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly, the bullet, yeah.
So it just seems like nothing's wasted.
No.
Whenever they're doing this stuff.
Well, and even in that one, he starts telling Ava about the story about Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
To make a point with her, especially about the Boyd point, is that, look, you got to get away from him because, and then he tells him the story about how, you know, Tiny and his girlfriend or whatever, you know, she lets the ATF or the marshals in, they get Tiny, right. Which was a scene we saw
in season one.
In season one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean, they don't waste anything. Like, well, you know, let's just and if you didn't, you don't need to know that came from season one.
No.
But I just love that it was because, you know, as we're watching, hey, wait a minute, that's Tiny from season one they're talking about. That's terrific. So all right, let's move on with Quarrel. So we'll talk more about the Ava thing when we get back to her storyline. But we're going back to Ray and how he's now told Art a lie, basically because he got the info about Quarrels and Tanner and everything from Boyd. Who was in prison, jail, whatever.
Saying he got it from Tom.
Saying he got it from Trooper Tom.
Trooper Tom,
yeah,
right.
He tells Art that, you know, he got it from Trooper Tom. But it's a very reliable source because you know he's not going to say Boyd because he just, the whole last week's all about being trapped with Boyd, right. Being in cahoots with him. So,
Well, it originally started with a confidential informant, right? You got a call. That's what Art calls him into the office.
Oh, about the buddy, what's his name?
Who is Buddy so-and-so?
Brady Hughes.
Brady
Hughes, the missing hustler.
Yeah,
right.
And we don't know what that is. We may find out later what that's all about. Well, obviously, it's a callback to Quarles wanting to beat up somebody and all that. Beat up a hooker or whatever it is.
And Art wants nothing to do with him.
Right.
As
long, you know, because it has, in Art's mind, it has anything to do with a federal crime or a martial purview, so knock it off. I've had enough, you know, because last week he was about to have a heart attack because of Raylan and putting him through so much. So he wants Raylan back on the straight and narrow.
Did you notice also last week Raylan was stuck in the office?
Yeah.
Pretty much for the whole thing, except, you know, a brief stint.
Outside.
Winona.
This time, I think he was in the office for
just
maybe
the
one
first scene. Just that's first scene.
And then they said, just get him the hell out.
Let's get him out of the office. Back, and now he's back in Harlem. Too.
He's
chasing everybody down. So, okay, so he finds out where Tanner is, and then, you know, I think the scene with his mother was just beautiful. So, because Trooper John tells him, well, here's where his mother lives, and that's where he's staying or whatever.
Right.
Wasn't she fabulous? We don't have the name of the actress.
We don't. We tried to look that up, but couldn't find it.
I thought she was great. she just was so wonderfully oblivious and odd, but cute and motherly. And
what a just a great energy.
Yeah.
But then, you know, talking about the last time some Dick Marshall came
in. Clearly a seasoned veteran of the criminal aspects of her son's life.
And, you know, one of those great moments that they do a lot in the show where they have the dissonance between the sweet, loving, kind kind of grandmotherly mom talking about Dick Marshall.
And boop, we do a nice little turn on that. I thought that was just great. But she kept her sweetness. Even what you said, get out.
You totally bought into why she was, you know, really?
Yeah, I know.
Why didn't you try? He gave him poison and you have the antidote. What?
That was, I just love it.
Priceless.
And when you have that kind of character.
Your mind.
When you have that kind of character and that kind of voice.
Yeah.
He's just, oh my God, what can we get her to say? What can we get her to say?
It reminded me of Anita Gillette, a woman, I don't even know if she's still acting or even if she's still alive, to be honest with you. But she was a terrific actress back in the day. But that's what it reminded me of. Anyway, so hopefully we'll find out her name. But I thought you did a fabulous job. And especially when we came back to her as well. But it was just a great scene. So anyway, so it sends him still. So Raylan's still not getting satisfied. So what's the next thing he does? He visits Sheriff Napier. And even worse, he brings in an ATF guy.
Oh, the ATF guy.
So I mean, he's just doing shenanigans all episode.
He's just grasping for straws. He's just pulling stuff out. But his hunches are right.
Right, and it's working.
And it's working. Yeah. And that's it. That's what they did. They just put him out in the field and have him just rattle cages.
Wasn't Napier great with Sheriff Napier when he's starting out brushing his.
Doing his just for men.
His brush, exactly. Or whatever he's
whatever
doing.
That is.
Yeah.
And then practicing his little speech. God, I don't even. Well, I forgot his name, too. But great, another great actor.
They use these guys a lot in a lot of the stuff they do. I think Napier was in From Here to the
From
Moon.
Earth to the
From
Moon.
Earth to the
From
Moon.
The Earth to the Moon.
So was Nick Searcy.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Right. Nick Searcy art. And a lot of these guys.
And even the ATF guy. The bomb.
The real one.
Yeah, the guy that defused the bomb.
Right.
Yeah, he was on Earth to the Moon, too.
Right. So they find these guys that they love, and they figure out ways, let's bring them back or you know, let's get them in here. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's very smart.
And it really shows. You know, when you see these guys work, there's just this vibe.
Michael T. and Neil McDonough, Michael T. Williams, they're from Boomtown, so they work together, too. So they're from that. Okay. So, so we get to where are we now? Oh, we're at Sheriff Napier's. He brings in the ATF guy. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when you brought the ATF guy in, I went,
really?
What? Yeah, because usually they do a much better job of casting.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they really, what is that? But I noticed, you know, he never came to the forefront. And if you notice the way it's shot, Timothy's kind of blocking the view of him and everything, so you don't get to see him very well.
And usually those ATF guys are badass looking,
Usually there's ATF somewhere on their body.
You know, that was one of the things I just wanted to talk about was when they left and, you know, we learn that ATF is a truck driver, drives a big rig.
Yeah, and he's wearing
Raylan's vest. Raylan goes, give me my vest back.
Yeah.
He gives him the vest back, but then in the scene at Lemuel's place
with the real ATF?
His vest says U.S. Marshal on the front of it. So,
well, he just turns it around.
Is he wearing it inside out or something?
Yeah, you can do that. Wear it more inside.
Can
but, you?
Is that how you do it, John?
Yeah, you can. Well, I've worn a vest. I know what that is. I've had a bulletproof vest on. I know you can turn them inside out.
Okay.
So,
but
I thought it was good. Well, coming out of the sheriff, when you actually saw the size of
the girth.
thank you. The girth of the guy that Raylan hires to play the FTI. You went, whoa, okay, it's a good
Hang
thing you're hiding
minute.
Here. Yeah, that was nice. So,
well, the moral is if you throw a bulletproof vest on somebody, you can say they're ATF,
pretty
police, SWAT, pretty much anything.
And we'll buy it.
And we'll buy it.
Well, I thought it was interesting because he seemed like a friend of Raylan's. He goes, hey, you want to go get a beer? And even Raylan, who's been drinking too much, it's a little early for me. He's already been drinking.
Yeah, but Raylan
he was already drinking earlier in the day.
It's like 7 a.m.? As opposed to 9 when you usually have your first drink?
Yeah, that was a nice little nod to that.
Oh, Raylan had things to do, though.
He did.
He had a very busy day planned.
Right.
Yeah, and then he follows Napier because he knows that Napier is going to lead him to Tanner. At least that's the hope.
Right.
And while he's, you know, so they go to some, you know, Napier, of course, had set up some meeting with Tanner in some secluded place and starts pulling out a shovel from his trunk of his
car. I love that shot. Might be a body bag. Overhead shot. Yeah. You can see the bleach. You can see the duct tape.
Yeah, you see it.
You see the rope, the shovel, the plastic.
Basic, wow. Basic murderer's life.
Exactly.
Cat.
Nice. In the back of his
sheriff's car. It's like, wow, man, is this guy dirty or not?
And they played that scene so nice.
When Raylan drives out?
Yes.
Raylan finally gets the call.
There with the shovel.
Yeah, Trooper Tom calls him, hey, we finally found Tanner. So he gets to leave and he drives up to Napier.
Pretty sure he's not coming.
Look on Napier's face. That's just priceless, because not only has my plan been thwarted, but somebody knows.
Yeah, all along.
Yeah.
And it really is kind of like, I don't have time.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're
so far down my totem pole that I don't even have time to deal with a horribly dirty sheriff.
No.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's really tacky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The writing is just awesome.
So which takes us to, of course, we're now at the what's his name? Brooks, I think it was Brooks. Is the old
Lemuel
guy.
Brooks.
Lemuel Brooks, mm-hmm. who we saw in earlier episodes, and Brooks did pyrotechnics for Boyd. Boyd got a rocket launcher for him.
That's how we know this guy. Of course.
So this guy, builds these gadgets. I don't know if you remember, he built a little helicopter thing or whatever. But anyway, that's where Boyd got a lot of his blasting stuff. And so again, a classic case where let's use the guy. He's already in house. We've already used him. Boom, they bring him back. So, and what a nice way. By the way, huge body count on this one. We've been curious about the body counts, and then this episode has a huge body count.
Right.
Yeah, pretty big.
Two. That we know of in the first scene.
Tanner.
Well, we got the two girls in the beginning.
Yeah. So that's four.
Yeah.
They reference a couple of guys in the bank, but we don't see
them. Yeah, we don't know if they killed
them. Yeah, we can count at least one of them. One who got his skull blown off, I think was how she put it. So that's five.
He's probably a goner.
You got Delroy?
Yeah. Delroy.
The two girls.
Tanner, the two girls, and the guy in the loan cash.
And Lemuel.
Cashing place. Oh, and Lemuel. That's six. That's big.
It is. But okay, let's go to Lemuel. So Lemuel, savvy, very savvy guy, rigs up his little stool.
It's up there.
Yeah. How many times has he wanted to be able to use it? I hope never, but he's got it all rigged. But man, savvy. And loved how he referenced the whole thing about, back in NAM. And because I don't know if you recall, Arlo's was a NAM veteran, the whole thing. So we get that reference coming back. So he's got that stool rigged. And the look on Tanner's face was great. I just love the little standoff they had. Tanner and Errol have guns.
Right.
Lemuel was fabulous. Well, now hang on. Yeah, right. He's just so nonplussed about the whole guns. So obviously he's had a gun pointed in his face, not only from Nam, but it seems like recently.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't seem to be bothered by it at
all. Pretty much a weekly occurrence, it seems.
That's what it seemed like, didn't it?
Well, that's one of the things that I think is sort of funny about the show. And pretty much every character, very calm about everything.
Yeah, they're like, all right.
It's another defuse bomb day. crap, I got to go save Dickie's life again.
Yeah. They did let Tanner have that figuring out how did this go so wrong so quickly.
Right.
While he's on that thing where he was looking at him and he's looking at Errol. And that moment of the three of them and the only guy that could fix him didn't care.
Yeah.
He's just like, what's it going to be, son?
Yeah, it's your choice.
But it was, you knew Tanner wasn't going to walk out of there.
No.
But
no.
It was really cool to let him
sweat like that. Yeah.
Have those moments. And
it
have,
was interesting how I was shocked that Errol took the shot.
I was too.
Yeah.
I thought what was going to happen is he was going to collect the guns and walk out
and
say, good luck.
But, let's face it, he had the little meeting with Limehouse, and Limehouse said, no, today is tying up loose ends, and you got to make sure that these ends get tied. So, once Tanner gets on that stool, what else is Errol going to do? But it came quickly, and I just that was shocking to me.
Now,
not that he did it, because they were there to kill him anyway, but it was just
they were there
so
to
quickly.
Kill
Brooks?
Yeah,
Brooks?
Because they had to tie up loose ends. That was the whole thing.
Brooks,
anybody that could tie Tanner back to the Nobles Hauler was tying up loose ends.
So he was there to get his money back. Brooks could do that.
Right.
Yeah, because, Brooks was the one that got the explosives for the car.
For Napier's car.
Okay.
That's what Brooks provided.
Okay.
So they were trying to tie up all those loose ends. So all that stuff wouldn't come, and there'd be no blowback on Noble's Hauler.
I swear we need a whiteboard at this point to keep track of how
I'm right there. I'm your whiteboard. I got it all figured out for you.
You are, but we can't read it on your face.
And you really are the whitest whiteboard I've ever seen.
That's probably
just,
true.
You know, so you all know.
Right, so anyway, so that's why they're there. Sonny's, yeah, it was shocking that he shot him so quickly. But then he's like, yeah, of course he did. That's why they were there. But then that left those two guys. And then, again, in some weird, weird way in this world, he makes a deal with
the code of honor that they have in Harlan.
Don't worry, though, but we'll take care of your mama, anything she needs, and you have Mr. Limehouse's word on that. And that's good enough for Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes that deal.
And then at the end, when we do see Errol go visit Mrs. Dodd, he's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, anything you need, Mrs. Dodd, you call me.
But, you know, the reason why that was even more interesting to me is because the whole thing with Mags' money. Mm-hmm. And Dickie, they didn't give all his money back. So I thought that money would have gone right back to Limehouse.
To Limehouse, right.
But no, I think it was you think it was because it was just a mother involved?
Your mama.
And she's a sweet old mama and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why Errol brought the money back?
Yes, I do.
I think Errol made the deal with Tanner and, you know.
Yeah, but Tanner's dead.
You know, they're reinforcing that man's word is his bond.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought it was so shocking, because they had a deal with Mags' family. They didn't give money to Dickie, but they have this deal with Tanner, and they do give the money. So I thought that's an interesting little. And I think it's because it wasn't Mags. It is an innocent woman. And even, you know, she's just the mother of Tanner. So she's not really in the business, so to speak.
Right.
So that would be the right thing to do, is to make sure she's provided for. Whereas Mags, their whole family's in the business, so they get whatever they deserve.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking is what they were playing.
So, question.
Yeah.
When Errol's leaving,
yeah,
and Tanner's still on the bouncing Betty, he says, Errol.
Yeah.
What do you think he wanted to say? What do you think he was trying to?
I thought it was a thank you. Thank you for taking care of my mama.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
But he couldn't?
I think that's what it didn't have to, because it was understood. And I think that goes to what I was just talking about. It was because he did that I think that helped Errol having no problem taking that to his money. I mean, he was trying to say, look, fine, I get what's going on here. I'm dead, and I get why you're doing this, but do right by my mama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the only thing. That's what I thought it was.
You sure you don't want to trade places?
Okay. One vote for
that's
that.
That's a good one. Yeah. That is a good one.
I'd love to hear what anybody else thought of it.
And, you
can
know,
you give me a sandwich?
Just when we revisit Tanner,
uh-huh.
I don't know if we're going there now, but they had it. His hand was shaking.
Well, let's go to the next scene. The whole thing there. Because that's pretty much the next beat of it.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, because the next time we're there, ATF's there, Raylan's there. They're all ready to defuse the bomb. Tanner's, of course, he's been on there for, I don't know, an hour now, hours, whatever it is. He's all nervous and freaking out.
He's got to pee. His hands are shaking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, his legs are about
shot. And here's what I'm
thinking
is, okay, you don't want to drop the gun. Why aren't you putting it in your waistband? Why do you feel like you have to hold it?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. And the other thing was, is
there was a couple of waistband issues in this one.
Yeah,
there were waistband issues. But if he was worried about the weight, his personal weight, why did he give Errol the money? The bag of money,
because
that would have changed his weight.
I know,
as well.
That just really didn't.
Slight logic problems, but he could have put it in his waistband. He could have done whatever.
He could have just set it down.
I don't know.
But
I guess
between his feet.
He should have never grabbed the money and then stepped on the thing, and then before he reached for it, then it wouldn't have been in his hand. There would have been no issue. But that thing bothered me, because if you let go of the gun, why is that going to cause it to arm? But if you let go of the money, that doesn't cause it to arm. So that was kind of strange.
But the fact that he dropped the gun made me think it hit a switch or something, as opposed to changing his weight. I mean, that's how I resolved it in my mind.
Yeah, but I didn't see that or hear that or anything. So I just went, eh. I hate that.
Well, back when I was in the Delta.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It was an easy fix. I wish they had just fixed it.
Yeah.
Because that just, I hate it.
Well, I think
everything else is really sharp and crisp on this.
I think they may have tried to a little bit with the someone talking to, I think it was one of the trooper talking to the ATF bomb diffuser guy,
right.
Saying, and the trooper said he doesn't want to put down his gun because it will change his weight. And the ATF guy said, oh, that would be like Lemuel.
yeah.
to do. So I think they kind of tried to fix it, yeah, yeah. But then there was also, the other weight issue with the fanny pack full of money or whatever it was.
Yeah, but also when they were running out and getting behind the thing and getting behind the cars and realizing what's going on, goes, you know, they sometimes just arm themselves. I mean,
It armed itself, and then they didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But the ATF guy was great. I like you just because, you know, they – yeah, you know, when they say, Raylan first gets there and he's holding the gun on him, he says, don't drop that, all the, you know, whatever, and starts talking to him. The ATF guy finally goes, yeah, and he just goes right in, you know, it's like, oh, well, this is my job.
Of course I can.
Yes, yeah, you know, this is what I do. And then they're making jokes. Yeah. Hey, me and the ATF guy will go out for lunch. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
But what else are you going to do if you're in that line of work? I mean, you're sweating bullets anyway. You might as well. If you're going to go into that line of work, you might as well enjoy it.
Right. So.
And he's standing on a bouncing Betty.
Yeah.
He's about ready to, you know.
Bounce. Yeah.
And he still wants to negotiate.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's what I thought was great.
And what he wants to give up on. So it says a couple of things. One, it says the life that these guys lead. But it also kind of says, you know, this has got to be a good deal. Because if I live, I'm going to have even more people wanting to kill me if I tell you what you need to know. Yeah.
But I thought it was great that he called Raylan out on it. You're trying to negotiate with me when I'm sitting on top of a bomb? No better time.
Right.
No better time.
Stating the obvious. Of course I'm going to. Yeah, no. We'll do it now before you get down.
Tanner was actually the one doing most of the negotiating. Yeah. You know, Raylan just wanted the information.
Because he wants quarrels.
And he was really pretty desperate for it. It really wrecked his plan.
Which was great because every time he tried to get info, it got farther away. And you know, and he knows he only has a certain amount of time before Art's going to find out and really come down on him for disobeying that order.
And how long do you think that's going to take?
Well, it'll be next episode, probably.
Next episode?
I think so, something like that. Because you know they're going to have a head with Coral, so at some point it's going to come to a head.
There's a little bit of a spoiler alert. The bomb does go off. The bouncing Betty does bounce.
Yeah, he drops the gun.
And the look that Raylan has.
So, yeah, doesn't. And that was the other thing that bothered me, is why doesn't anybody just tell him, put it in your... He had a coat,
right?
Yeah.
It's not even a waistband. He could have just put it in his pocket.
It's like, what? You know, why is the
But the look that Raylan had, looking at that blown out shop, just damn.
There was my
so close to getting there, so close to getting quarrels, and
not a lot of remorse for Tanner.
No,
Tanner goes bye bye, boom boom bye bye, which is and then a good fitting bye bye to Tanner. He was not a nice guy, but now Raylan's got nothing.
No, he doesn't.
So that's and so he ends up at
the only thing he has
Tanner's
is a gun that can incriminate him.
But at his house. But he does. He goes back to Tanner's house, and what does he do? He fixes the TV. And wait. And I thought first of all, the way it was shot was great. Errol shows up, gives the money to Tanner's mom, and she's just breaks my heart just thinking about that scene and how she played it. It was just beautiful. Sad, just really sad. She gets the money, and then we just kind of pull back, and then you see Raylan just sitting on the couch. He's not even, he's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. He's no gun out, nothing. He's just sitting there. So,
and he thanks her.
He thanks her
for not letting him know that,
right? Yeah,
he was
there. And says, I'm sorry for you lost the whole thing. Gives her the remote so we know he put the TV together because, and he doesn't take the money,
right?
He lets her have it,
lets her have the money,
yeah.
Because that's really it's Brooks's money,
right?
But I guess in his world
he doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't need it, or the family doesn't need it. Whatever Brooks's family, but he figures that guy, he makes bombs for a living, so let's give it to the sweet old lady who probably hasn't hurt anybody in her life or whatever.
Because, like you said, she's not in the business.
She's not in the business, so it's right that she deserves it rather than have it, taken into custody and do all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Go through all the system.
Figuring out his own way around the law.
But isn't it sweet that Raylan got the TV work?
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah.
But of course, I just thought it was
terrible. He did it with the shirt on.
That's true.
Sorry.
That's not how I prefer it.
But it was great that they set up that she's got this brand new TV, and that's how he knows that Tanner came by, but he didn't have time to fix it because he's in trouble.
Yeah.
That whole thing. And then at the end, it's wonderfully resolved very quickly, but just her looking at the TV and crying. I mean, it's just great stuff.
They are so good at callbacks in this show.
It's wonderfully resolved without being sappy or anything.
And then the other great thing about that
great setup, great resolution.
Because he was there and saw Errol deliver the money, now he knows where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now
this is where we get this. To me, this is the best scene between Errol, I'm sorry, between Raylan and Limehouse when we're back at the Nobles Hall or at the shack, so to speak. I don't know what we call it.
Let's call it the Rib Shack.
The Rib Shack, yeah. And Raylan.
And can we go there when we're done?
Yeah, no, don't you want to? Man, it looks like some good stuff there. So, yeah, Raylan says he's going to close them down. And, you know, that was just a great scene with Michael T. and Timothy. Because you know, we finally told that Limehouse remembers Raylan's dad the whole time. And then his whole business of not of pretending not to know and stuff that Raylan was surprised by. Raylan thought for sure he's going to remember the time my dad came here and he beat him up. And that was that was episode 2, I think?
Right.
Maybe? Something like that? Yeah. And finally, in episode 9, 7 weeks later, he finally realizes, oh, not only did he remember it, he remembers all of it.
Something about recounting in great detail. About your mama?
Oh, that was the best, you know, because, you know, he's saying this thing, trying to get a rise out of Timothy and how, you know, beat up his dad, remembers the blood, the way he cried. And I remember your eyes getting big as saucers and
you wet your pants.
Exactly. No, his daddy did a thing.
Oh, his dad did?
Or you're about to or something like that. But
you're about to, yeah.
Exactly. And then Raylan, of course, it's, you know, that image, that memory doesn't bother him because it's Arlo.
Yeah, it's Arlo.
But as soon as he said, well, maybe I should remind you about your mama. And then it was, oh.
Uh-oh. Don't go there.
That was it.
Not my mama.
Nobody.
Nobody. You never go after mama.
You can't mess with somebody's mama.
Mm-mm.
The thing I liked about that scene was at the very end. First of all, you get to find out what Limehouse's first name is.
Elston.
Elston.
Oh, yeah.
Did you already know that?
Yeah, yeah. But they don't use it a lot. So no. It's not.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here.
It's on the whiteboard.
Oh, yeah. Solar flare.
Oh, that whiteboard. Yeah.
And, you know, where they come up with these names,
Elston,
God
Limehouse.
Knows.
I know.
But.
Well, I bet you know. I think a lot of them are from the Elmore.
Yeah,
books,
yeah,
actually.
I think so. Well, Delroy is. Delroy's from a So I'm sure a lot of these are.
But when Elston, says we've been here a long time and a lot of kings have tried to take us, and it's like, yeah, and you're gonna be here when this one blows over too.
That's true.
Far as you know.
And for some reason, I didn't. This is the part of the scene I didn't get. So Raylan says, "So you're just trying to protect." So it's almost like he went, oh, "Okay, so you're not really into this. You're just trying to protect Nobles Hall." Is that what's going? I didn't quite get what was going on there. Do you think that's what was going on,
Steve?
At the end?
Yeah, when he says, so you're just trying to protect Nobles Hall. It was kind of like he was resigned. Okay, that for me, it sounded like, okay, I understand why you said that. And okay, if you're not really into this and you're not going to help me because you're just trying to protect the Nobles Haller, it's almost like he was trying to, okay, I'll find a different way.
Yeah, I got the feeling that he's, first of all, he's trying to figure out who the players are and how they're all interconnected.
Yeah.
But I think he was trying to figure out if Limehouse does have a more honorable position in all of this. Uh-huh. And possibly even trying to give him a way out.
Yeah, you know, well, I think he's definitely trying to give him a way out for sure,
But, no, it was an interesting conversation. And, and it really was kind of one where you're going, you know, you guys are really equal in this.
Right.
In this conversation.
You know, and he starts out by saying, look,
equal
I'm
right
taking
here.
Coral. I'm either going to put him in the ground or put him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either help
or
not.
And Limehouse isn't sure he's going to do either one of them at this point.
I know, because Elston's really good about, you know, he said all along, he goes, let them deal with it.
We're
going to help that along and clean it all up. But we're still going to make sure we're insulated from
that.
Our power is being invisible, and it's what
exactly.
We do good.
So that's
right. You know, and I think he's done a really good job of playing that. So and of course we didn't get very far because
well, he was Limehouse, closing up.
Yeah, but Limehouse he did not say yes.
He doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say yes.
He offers people ribs and pie.
He does. He was just trying to close up his shop.
Speaking of that, should we go to that? Since he offers pie, let's talk.
The shoe fly pie scene?
Yeah, the scene earlier in the show when Quarles finally shows up at the shack.
Yes.
Just the way he walks in.
And the way, just the suit and the whole thing. Yeah.
He's a piece of work.
His arms are always out a little bit from his body.
Well, it's because he's got to make room for that sleeve gun.
Exactly.
Partly.
Yeah.
And God only knows what's in this hand.
Yeah. Exactly.
We haven't seen that yet. That would be awesome.
Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Just
looks so out of place.
It's so tightly wound. I like it.
It's got the suit, the blonde hair, the blue eyes. I mean, just everything is just wonderful. And then they have that nice little thing between them. How about some shoe fly pie? Ooh, shoe fly. And it's like.
Didn't that just say, what
nasty.
Are you doing?
It was almost like, and here's the thing. I don't know if it was just, because it seemed like actors, first of all, having fun with each other.
Yes.
But, I mean, characters, I mean, they did a great job, because I don't want to think for a second, sound like I'm saying that they, you could see them acting. Yeah, it was just, but these two guys know each other, too, so it was almost like
they're, sure, because like you said, they were from Boomtown, right?
Yeah, they're playing, you know, it's like, and it was great, you know, because it was just, I mean, I don't know how much of that was written or how much was improv or whatever, but it was a great scene between the two of them.
It was a wonderful scene. It you know, first of all, at this point, Quarrel's going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hang with him.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten to see all the different...
Yeah, and he's going over the edge.
Yeah, that's why I want to hang with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's scrambling just as much as Raylan is right now.
Yeah.
And again, they've really been able to parallel these two characters through this whole thing. And again, remember, when they started the season, I'm like going, oh, yeah, it's Boyd and here.
No.
And
they've
blown that out of the water.
Yes, absolutely.
They've thrown all the people you didn't anticipate right in the center of it.
Yeah.
But knowing that he is a psychopath, knowing that he will
and now he's taking drugs.
Yes.
On Oxy.
It really is a time. Yeah, speaking of Bouncing Betty's.
Yeah.
I just hang with him.
Shoe fly with a name like that. It's got to be delicious.
That's a really good impression of him.
Thank you very much.
Creeps me out a little bit.
Sorry about that. You'd rather I just do impressions of Raylan.
Yes, I would. I would prefer anybody do that.
I do a pretty good Arlo.
Okay, so there's that scene. And then the next time we're back there, he's talking to the campaign manager and not... It's
Harvey.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't get that. I didn't get the whole cards and booze and face cards and...
But this I think, really goes to the carpetbagger thing. He's from Detroit. You pay off your whomever, and then your politician, and that's it. But it's different. We do things different here in Harvey County. Yet, you know, I think when Napier... Not, sorry. What's his name? Harvey?
Harvey.
Harvey's trying to tell him is... Here's how it works. We you know, get the deal. They get, when we get the vote, we give them a card. They get whatever it is. The card is the thing that says, okay, you did right by us. Here's the thing that's going to allow you to get your payoff.
Your payment.
All that other stuff. So that's the shenanigans of how they do it, is my guess.
Okay.
That's the procedural thing.
Because I knew the election wasn't happening today, but it made it sound like the next thing that we saw, the next scene where we saw Harvey and all those people was at the debate.
Yeah.
And so it just sort of confused me as about who was, you know, what he was talking about exactly and how that, I don't know.
So that's all it was. So he's the campaign manager for Shelby. No, sorry, excuse me, Napier.
Napier.
And he was just going to run, he was going to make sure that at the VFW meeting.
Town hall.
Debate.
Yeah, debate.
Not a town hall,
not,
VFW.
Not a town hall,
exactly. He was going to make sure that Napier would come across looking good and that Shelby wouldn't. So at whatever time he needed to, he'd bang
just
the gavel
him out.
And just gavel him out. So that's what he was setting up. I think they had to do that, so that makes the next scene when we're at the VFW all that more interesting, because Boyd, you know, does his preacher bit and even speaks to Harvey and reminds him where
he calls
him came
out.
From.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see Harvey is thinking about that, and that's why he doesn't gavel it out, because you know, because
he's got his own stuff to protect.
Exactly, which I think goes back to the whole thing about Quarles not understanding this. No, I just buy the election. That's it, right? No, we do things different here.
Right there, where he says that, and basically what he's trying to tell Quarles is, everybody knows it's rigged, but we don't want to insult them into making it blatant.
Exactly, they can
see.
We have
to do this dance
because we're all about propriety here in the Holler.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's true, though.
So and they've been, you know, they know rigged elections and they've seen them. And so we can't, you know, got to be careful about how we do this. And I think that's what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So because when we get to that debate, that was a great debate.
Well,
not much of a debate, but it was great.
Not
but again, the thing I loved about that scene where Harvey is trying to explain to Quarles is Quarles' look as he's looking out the window and he's just going, what the fuck?
Yes, this is what I pay you for.
Why am I here?
He's still a big picture guy. He doesn't care about the details.
You know, I'm watching and I can just picture him thinking, I was in Detroit.
Yeah,
I had
exactly.
an awesome
I had
place.
A good...
I had everything.
Yeah.
And now I'm in this barbecue shack. With this Harvey.
Hillbilly Shack.
With Hillbilly Harvey. Shack and Shoe Fly Pie.
Yeah. Exactly. This guy's talking to me about cards and just, oh, God.
It's like he's the executive dealing with the cashier at Walmart or whatever.
Exactly.
And all just done with him.
But there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Harvey's going to explain the reason. Who Harvey, by the way, did look like a young Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Wasn't paying attention to that, but sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there you go.
You're a co-star, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd, my co-star. Played my father.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
6 degrees.
Dad. So, now this is getting, because we talked about it, the VFW debate. I thought Napier was doing pretty good.
Sure.
Shelby's, you know, kind of quietly holding his own, but not, you know, but he, clearly Napier's going to win this thing until Boyd shows up.
Right.
And interesting that Boyd, you know, the whole thing that Boyd wanted to have happen was Raylan get to Tanner because I'm in prison, wrongly accused. And so they get to figure out the whole Tanner thing. And so Boyd gets out of prison just in time.
Yes.
And takes over, basically. He's not even running for sheriff, and he does the best debate performance that I've ever seen.
There was a couple of things about that in the interview with
Graham Yost.
Graham Yost. One of them was everyone was missing from season two Boyd.
And his
Boyd's
preaching.
Preacherness. Yeah, yes. Loved his preacher
and
ability.
And being able to. And the other thing is that was really an homage to a Hitchcock film, 39 Steps.
Oh, right.
Where the character kind of gets thrown into a speech and he's just, you know, he's
spouting.
Says a bunch of platitudes and gets the crowd behind him. And a couple of the writers were thinking, oh, yeah, that's a great movie. So
fun to write.
Yeah.
Know, well, yeah, because basically all Boyd was talking about was how much we all hate the coal mines.
Exactly. And the coal mines and the company man.
And the company man.
He's just drawing distinctions, which is what they always do. Let's frame it the right way. Make, you know, draw distinctions. Here's my guy who's a hard worker, working man.
He's one of you people.
Mm-hmm. Feeding from the public trough. Mm-hmm. You know, pay, our taxes paying for it. So, and of course, everybody's going to
take money.
Not gonna want that.
I'm gonna frame it like that, sure. And he did it with such bravado, and you know that everybody bought into it. Gee, haven't we seen that?
There was following that when they're in the bar,
yeah, celebrating afterwards.
Celebrating, Boyd had another great line. Everybody knows that
elections aren't done.
All the dead have voted.
Elections in Harlan County, 8 over till the dead have voted.
That's right. Well, it's not just Harlan; they do it in Chicago.
I know. There's a similarity there.
Yeah. Pretty sad.
We're just joking about it too, isn't it? So sad that it happens everywhere. We're just joking about it.
Yeah.
Well, not here.
No. Yeah.
You know, for having the really pro woman episode.
Yeah.
We're not really talking much about.
Well, let's get into it right now.
Are we going to go?
Yeah.
Into it right now. So it starts out with three hopped up, long haired,
hopped up bitches. They were.
Hopped up bitches.
They were. Yeah. They were bitches.
Yeah.
Sporting
long
hair.
I don't normally talk like that, but it's right. When Justified's on.
Sporting long hair and wielding
and
guns.
And Elvis glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they go in because they're good. Delroy's got them doing his work. You know, Delroy's just horrible, but great character because he's just such a schmuck.
Oh, my God.
Getting women to do everything.
So, right. He's such a manipulator.
Yeah.
He's an amazing manipulator.
Yeah. And going along with
and
it.
We've seen it several times with Ellen May so far.
Right.
And they come out of the bank. One girl, Crystal, poor Crystal. Is shot, and
he's just pissed because she got shot. You know,
yeah,
he didn't care about her.
Just, no.
Just ruins his plan.
It's just,
you don't want to lose your stuff because you got to pull it together. Because Crystal was a soldier. That's the last thing she would want.
She watches the soldier.
We got to do this. We got to do this for Crystal.
We have to do it for Crystal.
And by the end of that, you really do want him shot, don't you?
Oh my God!
You want him dead because he's such a schmuck.
But even Ellen, you get
to see a little bit of that Ellen May because she's kind of very, very small rebellion in her. So no, she would have preferred not having her guts
out on the bottom of this.
So we can see that. Yeah, but anyway,
they wanted to do Chicks Robin Banks in season one. I think
really?
That interview, and it's kind of like we had a lot of the bank stuff, so we just pushed it off. But they've been kind of the writers.
They made it to a check cashing place.
Yeah, and they said basically we got the idea from Elmer Leonard, his book.
Raylan. One of his books? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was in there, and they went, okay, time to bring that up, and here's a perfect opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, and it's good because it still brings, you know, we've been doing a lot of this, the machinations between Quarles and Wynn Duffy and Raylan and all this kind of stuff going, and getting back to sort of that Old West feel with a good old-fashioned robbery.
Right.
You know, really.
Yeah, that's modernized by being hopped up bitches.
Hopped up bitches with shotguns and wings.
Because anytime you're going to rob a bank.
Here's the part that I thought was not only is Delroy horrible by manipulating the girls when he's driving out way in the van saying, you know, shut up and she'll soldier on and all that kind of nonsense. Then when they're having to take care of the body, he makes them carry him.
He does.
Oh my God.
The two girls have to carry the dead body.
And by the way, when they're referencing slurry, that's like. Yeah. Acids and stuff.
Horrible stuff. That's the runoff from the mine.
And if that were not a very shallow pond, which he's dropped in, but an actual mining pond, It dissolves metal. I mean, this stuff is nasty.
Well, and that's one of the things they've talked about several times in the over the course of the series is, you know, when we're talking about Black Pike Company and how they've, you know, there was a conversation with Mags about taking off the level, top of the mountain and all the slurry coming down and how it just creates wreaks havoc for everyone. It
reminds us again what people in Appalachia have to deal with.
Yeah.
And really lots of places nasty. To get rid of a body.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so they get rid of the body, rolls down the hill. And yeah, you guys were talking about the pond. Do you want to?
Go ahead, Steve.
The actual pond they
had to make, right?
There wasn't a pond.
Yeah, so they made.
That's right. Yeah, you go.
There wasn't a pond, so they had to build it, and you know the B unit went and shot it a different day from the day that they rolled the body down.
So they rolled the stunt body down.
They rolled the body stunt body
before it hits the water.
They build the pond, and the actual pond is about 8 feet in diameter and about 2.5 feet deep. So,
and it's just lit, so you can only see the front lip.
So, edge of it. So, then when the stunt woman rolls off the hill and falls into the pond, she was buoyant. She was floating. So, she was having to, through her body bag, I'm assuming, grab the bottom so that it would look like her body sank.
Yeah.
And apparently the B unit director just thought it was hysterical. The whole thing was hysterical.
Yeah, but it looks great. It works perfectly.
He referenced an Ed Wood type shot. This is the cheapest, but it looked great.
Right.
That's
how we shoot the Tamron twins.
Exactly. It's classic because, you know, they got, okay, we don't want to spend any money to do this. And you didn't need to. They just did it really smartly, lit it really well. Mm-hmm. And just that quick little shot, 2-second shot, no one knew.
The magic of television.
I certainly didn't. I bought it.
No.
Completely.
Yeah, we didn't tell you that until after you saw it. You went back to watch. Yeah. So it's funny when you know those little things.
Great little inside scoop on that.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then of course, Delroy wants to clean up his loose ends. So he decides he has to kill the other girl, shoots one. And LMA. Smart
Thank
girl,
goodness.
Runs quickly
yep.
and doesn't get shot. And that's where she – and so Delroy misses her, and she's on the lam now. And she, where does she go?
Runs
to the
Ava.
Other woman. Because Ava's helped her in the past.
That's right.
So she's the only one that she thinks she can trust. And, and of course, in the beginning, I wasn't sure what was Ava going to do because, she's coming to their doorstep now. So that's bringing this nonsense right into Boyd's lap and her lap.
Right.
But she brings her in because she is a soft touch and she sees, you know, how frightened Ellen May is and stuff like that. And it looks like she's going to protect her.
Well, she was so motherly to Ellen May. You know, you lie down here on the couch, you try and get some sleep.
You hear some music on, it always helps me, that kind
when
of thing.
When they hear a commotion, she says, you're safe, don't worry. Right.
You know who she was reminded me of was Mags.
Oh, really?
Of having that, you know,
that motherly instinct.
One thing of, you know, she did blow her husband away, and then here's the other thing of just putting, and then,
and this is the face
very
of,
quickly.
Ava knows what LMA is going through.
Right.
Because
being abused herself, she knows what it's like to be frightened like that and have nowhere else to turn, all that kind of stuff. And
right.
She didn't really have any other help. That's why she ended up doing what she did.
Yeah. What did she do?
She killed her husband.
Right. No, I meant actually what was she about to do in the next scene. So, so in the next scene we see Ava.
It wasn't until she has a conversation with Johnny where she's has to rethink her strategy.
Right. Yeah, because
or her decision. I think there was no strategy.
I think the strategy was taking the stray and try to find some way to help her.
Right.
And she wanted to pawn her off on Johnny. Also I think in some weird way to get have Johnny to have some companionship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what that was about. And then he says, well,
Johnny speaks a little too much.
Yeah. He starts hitting on her.
Because Boyd's out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, he's back in jail. We don't know for how long.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
Turns out not very long.
We gotta help each other. I always prefer blondes.
I prefer blondes.
It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And then, that's got to come back to bite him if he ever finds
out. Well, yeah. There was that moment when they were celebrating the possible victory.
And she says, can I talk to you?
Yeah. And Johnny is nervous.
I didn't see that look. Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah.
I must have been writing.
They stayed on him, and you could tell he's thinking, what?
Really?
What? Yeah.
I didn't see that look.
So
awesome.
It was very, very cool to see. But anyway, she has that conversation with Johnny, and it was an interesting conversation because it took her from the motherly into, I can be just as bad as you may.
Right.
And that's really what this episode was about, is how bad can these women
be? But also, it reminded me of a bigger step across the line, because it was almost like a devil, you know, calling her out, not calling her out, but underestimating her right before she gave him a frying pan to the face.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was the same kind of thing. I was, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think I'm up to this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me show you. So I, that's what I was, you know, because she crossed that line with Devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she took a frying pan to his face. Now here's where I'm going to go with Johnny. Oh, really? I'll show you.
Right.
And I think that part she didn't plan on. I think she said, okay, I'll show you. She called Delroy and set that up. And then when Delroy's on his way over, I think that's when I got to figure something out here, because now I'm not going to turn this gal over. I mean, I couldn't see her turning Ellen May
over to
Delroy after what she'd seen what Delroy did to her, and after having the same thing happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I thought that's probably where she formulated that plan.
The actress who plays Ava was
Noah Carter.
Was she in, or was it the director that was in the interview?
Both of them.
Both of them were in the interview?
They both were in the interview, yeah.
Because in the interview, she was saying that she didn't think she had a plan until after Delroy arrived.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was while he was in the bar that she decided,
this is what I'm going to do.
This is what I'm going to do.
Oh, wow.
That was their take on it.
That was her take on it? All right.
Now,
whatever.
I like the other take where, you know, I'm just going to get him and clear him out to protect her, because it just makes her more motherly. But, you know, it does show that she's got this mean... Yeah. I can be a bad person as well.
Well, maybe she just decided once she saw him, she said, there's no way I can get him back. I can't give her back to him.
Right. She might have hit a point of no return.
She might have.
It was just like this horrible little puppy.
Yeah.
That, you know, you knew it was going to just get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Paid.
Yeah.
You know,
But a great way of showing, I mean, putting tying up her wrists, giving her something to drink. Let's go, shut up. If you have to say shut up one more time, I'll shoot you myself and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then she waits for the money to get down, and finally waits for Delroy to stop aiming the gun, and boom.
And he flew across the bar.
Nice little stunt work.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I was not prepared for that one.
I was not either.
I was not prepared for that one. I was not prepared for any of them. When Delroy shoots the girl after the lake, I was not prepared for that.
No.
When Lemuel gets shot, I was not ready. I mean,
this was one of those episodes where, thank God for DVRs, first of all, and second of all, don't look away, which is why I watch these shows twice. So that you can watch it without, you know, hesitation, and then second time we take notes.
And then the look on shoots, you know, Delroy, and it's just... It turns
Johnny.
Ellen.
Oh,
Ellen takes off the things. Help me clean this up.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And boy, girls can clean, can't we?
Yeah, I guess so. And she's,
I know, later on.
I haven't got stains that have been for 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They clean up
Spick
the bar
and span,
so good.
You should be very happy with my work today, honey. That's what she was saying.
Fascinating scene when she's talking. About their day at the end of the day.
Exactly.
What'd you do, honey?
What that
How was your
about
day?
Is just...
Well, and that the little sort of smirk he had on his face when he...
Who? Oh, when, Boyd?
Boyd.
Yeah.
Sorry, Boyd.
Yeah.
The little smirk, he's like...
Wow.
Okay.
You did all. I like when he says
right out here.
Everybody's
celebrating. Standing. Yeah. All those lawmen.
Exactly. That's the guy who wants to be sheriff.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
You could see he was proud.
And she's like, and she's so happy that we cleaned it all. We even got stains out there for 2 years. It's like
it's over.
She's all happy.
It's good.
That was great stuff.
Wow.
But she's got bigger plans now, because
Boyd
doesn't get hookers.
No. No horse policy.
No horse policy.
It's still intact.
It is.
But it seems, now, as weird as that is, I thought it was a perfect thing, because you can see her wanting to protect all these gals. Now, she's not going to protect them from prostitution so much, but she'll protect them from people beating
like
them up
Delroy.
And all that kind of stuff.
They're going to have a better situation.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. I can see that being an extension of her wanting to help these gals
in her way,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, in her way, exactly, mm-hmm. in Harlan County way,
whatever
that
way
special Harlan County manner,
exactly.
We're running long, John.
Let's go. We got to go to our break then. Okay. Jerrica, if you would please take us to our break.
Maybe now.
There we go.
Are we rolling?
How about now?
I'm sorry. I should have given her a heads up. So, we'll keep going until we get to that. So when we come back, we'll handle predictions. We don't have a special segment, do we?
No, we don't.
All right.
We don't have time for one anyway.
Yeah, no special segment.
We don't.
Are we going to skip commercial? Are we going to go commercial?
AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds. like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Predictions?
Yeah. Let's do predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go straight into predictions because I talk too long.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yeah, my fault for going long because I was the one chatty today.
You were chatty.
Sorry about that. So let's get into predictions. Whose thoughts? Anybody? I've already given one, but it won't be happening in next week or anytime soon.
Right.
I think that they're setting up something between.
We're on episode 9, and we're going to 13.
13, correct. 13.
So we're kind of really starting to peak here pretty soon, which is
right.
I'm excited
and,
about.
You know, the previews obviously showed Quarles and Raylan having a nice little moment together.
Yeah. I just want to really quickly, something that we'll get to talk about later, but you were mentioning it when we just saw the preview, Steve, that the lighting and the way the stylized shot of that preview was so interesting. And I'm wondering if it was lots of saturated yellows.
Oh, really?
And these shots from below. And I mean, it was fascinating. And I don't know if all that is a preview or if that's a sense of what next episode's going to be like, but it'll be really interesting to see. So I'm really looking forward to potentially some. We're getting into the Adam Arkin episodes pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
I think it's 11 and okay. So we got a couple more episodes for that.
Oh no, it's the 9th. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of exciting to see. So I'm just predicting some interesting production values. Really, is all I want to say. That's all I want to talk about. I'm looking forward to that.
You know what? I'm still trying to predict who's left to die.
That's a good question.
Arlo.
Oh yeah, Arlo.
Right. We haven't seen Arlo for a while.
And Winona.
Yeah.
I think Winona's going to buy
it. And obviously, the caveat is the ones who have been here for a while. Now, whether or not.
Quarles is going to go by.
Quarles is
going to
go, but his number two man.
Wynn Duffy.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He's the kind of guy
that's a survivor.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's always going to be a thorn in Raylan's side.
He's that little, cockroachy guy.
Exactly.
Won't die.
So I think we may see the end of Arlo, and I think Winona. And I've not read anything. I've not heard anything. I'm just saying.
I've been saying it for weeks.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. We got anything else?
My other prediction is someone's first name is going to be weird.
Hey, I want to let our viewers know that we are watching the chat boards live during our shows. And we're going to try and do that every week. Sometimes the technology evades us. Or eludes us, rather. So, you know, if you do have questions or comments, write them in on the chat room, and we can get them. We'll see them.
And when you do our downloads and stuff like that, remember to comment on us, give us a thumbs up, give us some sort of comment. Help us. It helps out a lot. We don't charge for any of this, and we're happy to do so. We want to keep bringing a good content and everything, but it does help us if you'll give us a comment.
The reason why it's important is because the more interaction we have with fans, the more we can go up to people who make these shows and say, we want to do something special for the fans. We want everyone to meet. And
finale shows and stuff like that, where you can come in and ask
questions and get photos and all kinds of really cool stuff. So that's always been the goal here for us, to try to get that to happen. So the more interaction we get from everybody on the outside, the more that can be a possibility.
Okay.
And the better it is for everybody.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Jerrica, if you would do our outro music, and we'll say our goodbyes.
Sure.
My website is tamaracentral.com. Also, follow me on Twitter at Tamara Berg.
Steve, you want to give
him follow Tamara, Tamara Berg.
Yeah. I triple that. Follow Tamara, Tamara Berg.
I'll tell you what she drives. You can just follow her.
Okay, I know where she lives.
You follow her all the time.
You can stalk her.
What are you doing now?
Follow me.
All right, on behalf of Jerrica, Steve Bottomley, Tamara Berg, I'm your host, John Comerford, saying thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.